hear such description of her life this evening. But now I would like to already get to you into the midst of the prayer. Queen Kunti, amongst others, she actually starts with a question. Her question is, how can Krishna, who is unapproachable, be approached? I'm sorry, I need to find. Yes. How can we approach the unapproachable? This, my dear devotees, was my question in my spiritual life. Actually, I started out in this life. I will tell you something. I did so many things wrong, but there was one thing I did right. Whenever I couldn't sleep, which was often, because my mind was so interested in so many things, I would climb out of the window of my sleeping room. There was a ladder. I would climb down. Then I would go in the night under the shine of the moon over a cobblestone street. You know, the street with these old stones in which the moonlight reflected itself. And I would go into our very dark garden. I would sometimes see a fox who also lived in the garden, and I would climb a particular tree. It was, I can only tell you in German, ein Boskop tree. It's an apple tree. And I would sit there. It was a very comfortable sitting arrangement in the branches, and I would look up in the sky, in the night sky, which was lit with stars. And I still remember, because I lived on an island, the air was super clean, and this meant that the stars were very visible. And as a little boy, I would sit there in the night, and I would pray to God and say, "My dear God, if you are there, please give me a sign." And I remember one time, but it only happened one time, one of the stars started to blink. And I almost fell down from the tree. Ah, that's a sign of God. He's blinking at me like twinkling his eyes. I don't know if it was a star, or maybe it was just an airplane passing by. But for me as a child, I remember it was, I would sit for hours in the tree and think, "Are you there? And if you are there, please give me a sign." When I came to Krishna consciousness, my childlike desire to know God was a little bit packaged in a thick covering of philosophy, packaging, I wanted to say, of philosophy, which I'm very grateful for. I forgot this question for quite some time. But then, 10 years back, it came back to me. I mean, can we as human beings really ever hope to make contact with the Lord? Can we expect a sign from Him? Can we expect that He talks to us and answers our questions? And for a long time, I would answer this question, no. You can only interact with your understanding of God, a concept, but that's not God. I felt a little bit like an ant who wanted to communicate with a human being. Imagine a little ant stops you when you go out and make a walk, and the ant is there, and maybe it waves a little flag, a saffron flag, you say, you want to tell me something? Tell me. I won't. But the ant will not be able to tell you anything because the ant has a limited language. I don't know if they speak at all, the ants, and a limited way of expression. And what is perhaps more important, it has a very limited way of thinking. The mind of the ant, if there is such a thing as a mind, will never be able to align with your mind, and there will never be any communication. So for a long time, I thought, is it possible for us to approach the unapproachable? And the answer is, as we will see, hopefully in this class, yes, we can approach him through bona fide prayer. Now, I must make a disclaimer right at the beginning. No one can teach you to really pray. You have to free your own voice. You have to say your own prayers, really. Or if you pray the prayers of previous acharyas, you have to make them your prayer. They have to come from your heart. My prayers will always remain my prayers, and your prayers will always be your prayers. But what we can do is, in this seminar, we can teach you some principles, and then you can apply them. It's almost like when you can go to Baumarkt and buy a few things, a few elements, and then make your own bathroom or your own sofa or your own bedstead. So in the same way, we will hopefully learn some principles today, but then you will have to take them and fill them with the life of your voice, your sincerity, your desire to make connection. Good. Now Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita a verse where he says he is really very difficult to approach. Please repeat after me. Naham prakasha sarvasya, naham prakasha sarvasya, yoga maya samavrita, mudoyam nabijanati, lokomang ajam avyayam. I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency. And therefore, they do not know that I'm unborn and infallible. Queen Kunti takes this, this understanding. He says, are you not like a fully dressed actor who is not seen or known by the spectator who looks at him? You can't figure out who is it. I think Queen Kunti must have thought of the Kalikat dancers. You know, these are dancers in South India. They have a face mask, and then they have something like here, and big eyes and a lot of black schminke, and then they have dresses which spread out like this. I once saw the Ravana actor, an actor who was dressed up as Ravana, and then I saw him sitting without his makeup, and I couldn't bring the two together. So, and Krishna is also for us covered by his illusory potency, by his Maya, and we just can't understand him who is unattainable. However, Queen Kunti does a very specific process, teaches how we can approach him, and it's amazing. The first is by chanting his holy name. In text 21, she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya Namo Namah. Let me simply offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Govindaya Namo Namaha. Yes, this is how Queen Kunti first approaches Krishna. She takes shelter in Krishna by chanting his divine names. I think we all can feel that when we chant the holy names and we are in the kirtan, we are in the, let us call it the kirtan zone, you know, we are zoning out of our material mind and we are simply with the holy name, we feel a little bit closer to Krishna. He seems to touch us, perhaps like a master touches a little dog, you know, like this. So in kirtan, we all feel there is the hand of the Lord on us and on our hearts. So therefore, in Vaishnava theology, you will always find Vaishnavas chanting in some ways the holy name. There is this famous prayer, Damodarastakam. You chant it in... When do you chant it? Kartik time. Every day some of us chant it. And there is a part when it's where Satyavrata Muni goes into kirtan all of a sudden. Namo Antalila. Namo Devadam, Namo Devadamoda Rananta Vishnu Prasida Prabodhuka Jalam. Again, Namo Devadamoda Rananta Vishnu Prasida Prabodhuka Jalapti Magnam. Namo, I am paying my obeisances to Deva, the Lord. Damoda, yes, his name is Damoda. He is Ananta, without any limitation. And he is the powerful, all-pervading Lord Vishnu. You know everything already. Yes, this is how in the midst of the prayer Satyavrata Muni, Sanatana Goswami describes, he thinks, I'm asking the Lord for so many things, but how can I approach the Lord? Best is I just stop my prayers and requests now and just engage in kirtan. Namo Deva,
Damodara Ananta Vishnu Prasira Paboduka Jalabdi Magna.
You find in all bona fide Vaishnavas who are approaching the Lord, chanting the Lord, they chant the names of Krishna. Agadamana Yashodananda Nanda Suno Kamalanayana Gopichanda Vindavanendra.
This is how you make your first contact. You call out the name. Hey Gogovinda, hey Andre, hey Andra, hey Kasori. You make contact with the names. This is how Queen Kunti also does it. Then, my dear devotees, she begins to meditate about Krishna's enchanting beauty by meditating on his lotus-like navel, the garland of lotus flowers that beautifies his dark blue form, his glances which are as cool as a lotus flower, and his feet whose soles are engraved with the sign of the lotus. No? So a devotee who wants to make contact with Krishna will remember Krishna in this way. Nama Pankajanabhaya. Nama Pankajamaline. Nama Pankajanetraya. Namaste Pankajangraye.
My respectful obeisances are to you, my Lord.
Your abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower. It's in the navel. Then she goes up. She thinks you are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers.
Then she goes even higher up and thinks how the Lord looks at her and dispels all her suffering. Your glances are as cooling and refreshing as the lotus in the autumn time.
And finally, she goes back to Krishna's lotus feet. Your feet are engraved with the sign of the lotus. And Krishna walks through the powdered dust of Vrindavan. He leaves a few impressions. There is one poem by Gopal Kavi, Gopal Krishna Kavi. Gopal Krishna Kavi was poet who lived in the 16th century. And he says, "When I came to Radhakund, I saw on the banks of the Radhakund white sand, and in the sand I saw two sets of footprints, and on one set of footprint I saw a lotus flower, actually it's with Radharani's foot also, and I followed this footprint." When Gopal Krishna Kavi gave up his body, he turned around in his bhajan kutir and wrote one line on the wall. He says, "Now, my dear soul, it's time to give up the body. Go to Radha Krishna." That's leaving the body in style, you know. So yes, great devotees. What does Queen Kunti meditate first about? The navel, how does it look? Impression like a lotus flower. Then she goes up. Where is she next meditating? Garland out of lotus flowers. Yes. Then she goes up even more. And what is she meditating about then? The glances, cooling glances of Krishna, which are full of mercy for his devotees, but very cooling, it cools. And finally, she goes down where? Lotus feet, yes, and the imprint. So when you want to come close to Krishna, First you say his name, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha, then you meditate about the most enchanting beauty, which is more beautiful than anything you have seen in the world. In fact, whatever beauty is here in the world is just a little remnant from Krishna's beauty. There's a verse by Rupa Goswami who said, all the beautiful things of the world are remnants. When the creator Brahma fashioned the beautiful eyes of Radharani, then whatever was left over of that eye material, he gave to the deer. The deer Jalenkas, no, who have the nice eyes. And in this way, he made it clear, it's about five other items are there, that everything, that Krishna is all attractive. So you go to his beauty and meditate about him. And then Gaur Krishna will supply me with the verse. It's in 1:28:24. Then Queen Kunti thinks about how Krishna was already present in her life. I think many of us are still remembering our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. Yes? No? Yes, good. Oops, it does something today. It's okay. It's okay. Our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj once told me something very sweet. He said, Maharaj, let us not try to meditate about the face of Krishna, let us meditate about the hands of Krishna. And what he meant with this statement is, let us meditate how Krishna was present in my life and made arrangements for me. And this is what Queen Kunti does. She says, Vishan Mahagne Purusha Dadashanat Asatsabaya Vanavasa Krishata Mede Medinka Maharashtarato Dronyastatas Chasma Hare Bhairakshita. My dear Lord Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from the sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So, my dear devotees, where has Krishna appeared in your life? Queen, I will ask you this. I will ask you to turn to your neighbor and talk about this with your neighbor. But let's go through this here. Queen Kunti says, you protected us from a poisoned cake. Who remembered? What was that about? Yes, someone said, Duryodhan had made a poison cake and fed it to Bhima. Then Bhima fell into the Ganga and fell on the ground, and there were some Naga snakes who bit him, and that poison was the anti-poison from this cake. So that was clearly Krishna's arrangement, that the Nagas were there and had the anti-poison. You protected us from a great fire. What was that about? Yes, the house of Shelach. When Duryodhana said, why don't you go to this forest for making holidays? We have made a beautiful palace for you. And it was a palace made entirely out of highly inflammable materials. And Vidura sent Yudhishthira a coded message. It was like a covered message. He said, Yudhishthira, please know there is a weapon that bites more than steel. What is a weapon that bites more heavy than steel? Fire, yes. So Yudhishthira understood this was a trap for them. You have saved us from cannibals, remember Hidimba. You have saved us from the vicious assembly, remember Duryodhana when they tried to disrobe Draupadi. You have protected us from the sufferings during our exile in the forest. And you have protected us from the battle where great generals fought. That is, what is that battle? Kurukshetra, yes. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashvatthama. We will hear about this in the evening. So my dear devotees, I would like to you now to turn to your neighbor. I know that some of you are introvert like me. Maybe I'm, I'm not 100% introvert. But some of you are introvert and some of you are blocked personalities in need of therapy. I know. But try to overcome your shyness and limitations. And I'm joking. This is the North German way of joking. Why don't you laugh uproariously? you could perhaps share with your neighbor something. So let us first make a pair. I will go with Krishna Chaitra Maharaj. Maharaj, I will come over to where you sit. So find a partner, please, first. You found one, Go Krishna? Please, everyone, take part in it. You don't need to run away. It will be very pleasing. Don't be afraid. So, Hare Krishna, please, Sluchai, please listen. So now our task is, we will discuss with our neighbor the third step. First step to approach Krishna was what? Chanting the names. Second step was meditate about his enchanting beauty. Remember, starting with the navel, then. Yes. And third step is to remember how Krishna was present in our life. You know, it's all about prayer. It's all about making a relationship. So we need to start at doable items. And so I request you to share with your neighbor now how you felt Krishna was present. Maybe it was during a car accident where you were miraculously saved and you said, this was Krishna. Maybe it was when you met your best friend and somehow became close with each other and you felt that was an arrangement of Krishna. Maybe it was when you had an almost incurable disease and somehow Krishna arranged the medicine. Maybe it was when you were totally on the wrong path and you were chastised by a devotee or by destiny itself. Whatever you can come up, please try to remember how Krishna was already present in your life. Is it clear? Please start now. You have about 5 minutes, so maybe you first want to think a little bit before you talk. Mostly that is done in civilized circles, but you can also talk immediately if you want. I'm sorry, little joke, little humor. No one laughs about my humor. Chanting Krishna's divine names. If you want to make now a note, this is a good time to make notes. This you can find in 1821. Note there, Kunti teaches this. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinanda. Join me, please. Devakinandanaya cha Nanda Gopakomaraya Vavindaya Namo Namaha. Instant connection, no? 1821. Next, this was Kirtanam. Now she goes to Smaranam. Next, she bows down to Krishna's enchanting beauty by meditating on his lotus-like navel. Then, remember, the garland of what? Lotus flowers. Yes, yes. That beautifies his dark blue form. His gland, not eyes, glances that are very cool as a lotus flower. You have seen an image of Lord Jagannath? Have you noted there is a red rim around his eye? Have you seen? What is that red rim? It says when someone looks at you with compassionate eyes, there will be a little red spot in the corner of his eyes, right and left. Now, if someone is very compassionate, like Lord Jagannath, then his whole eye is surrounded by red. So Krishna also has this substance. It's called Sudakara. It is in the hiding in his eyes. And when he looks at someone, as happens during darshan, then his compassion and cooling, not cool in the this is cool sense, but in the cooling sense, it cools the heat of material existence. So, and the last thing she meditates about is your feet, the mark on his feet, no? The lotus flower. You can find this in the, here, this is for note takers, Bhagavatam 1822. Now, Queen Kunti's third step, which is extremely powerful in awakening devotional feelings, is to meditate about Krishna's arrangement in her life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a strong proponent or advocate of this principle that he said every Ekadasi, that is every 2 weeks, a devotee should review his week. Week means the last weeks, actually the last 14 days, and see how Krishna was present. My dear devotees, when you see Krishna's loving presence in your life by looking a little bit more with a new set of eyes, then, my dear devotees, oh, your devotion will rise in your heart. A good example of these practices is, please note down, 1823 to 1824. A very nice example of meditating about Krishna's arrangement in one's life is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his wonderful work, Madhurya Kadambini. I will read this with you. It is about a devotee who looks back in his life, trying to find how Krishna was active. It is said you plan your life by looking forward. Then I will do this, then I will go there, then I will change my kunas into euros, then I will do this, then I will... But you understand your life only, my dear devotees, by looking backwards. Oh, here Krishna was active. So this is a devotee who looks in retrospect, who looks backward. He says, O Lord, O most merciful Master, now I can understand that your heart melted with compassion when you saw me in the past suffering in my material illusions. Seeing me so much suffering, you took on the form of Sri Guru and came to cut me away from the jaws of the crocodile of ignorance, just as you did when you released Gajendra from the deadly grips of the crocodile by your illuminating Sudarshan disc. Please, we can think about this, how Krishna also stopped us in our tracks by sending us the devotees into our lives, and one of them became our guru and he cut us away, no? Please sing with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Please sing a little bit more fully. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. And the devotee looks more back into his life and thinks, even early on in a time long past, you planned to make me a servant of your lotus feet. With this in mind, this plan, you recited the syllables of the divine mantra, your sound forms, into my ears and eradicated all my inner miseries. You had come and chanted Hare Krishna, or came as the chant or the divine mantra in my life. You purified me further by repeatedly and patiently engaging me in hearing, chanting, and remembering your holy names and attributes. You bestowed upon me the association of your devotees, who taught me how to serve you. What kindness have you shown me, but what have I done to reciprocate? My dear devotees, we could all write a similar prayer if we follow Queen Kunti's three-step process, how to approach the Lord. The Lord doesn't have to be a distant stranger, forever hiding behind the modes of material nature or the beyond the borders of the cosmos. But by chanting his holy names, meditating about his auspicious form, and meditating or reminiscing, very good word. Look it up on Google Translator. Reminiscing is not remembering, it's remembering with tasting, you know, then you can feel his closeness. And then your heart becomes set aflame with the power of bhakti, no? And again, let us sing. Everyone, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
dear devotees. It was in 1965 when Srila Prabhupada came from Butler in Pennsylvania to New York. It was the winter. Winter in New York means snow and a very cold wind that comes blowing from the Hudson River on the Riverside Drive. That's the street just next to Hudson River. Prabhupada was walking there. He had shoes made from plastic, very thin Indian dhoti, a jumper, and then a coat over it. And he had no real place to stay. He stayed in one of these offices, small, small rooms, but he needed to walk many, many streets down to the apartment of one Dr. Mishra, where he could take a shower. So during this time, Prabhupada took shelter and he recorded himself singing the prayers of Queen Kunti. Who has heard these recordings of you? The prayers of Queen Kunti, he recorded at that time. Beautiful. You can see his voice fully taken shelter. Then, 2 years later, on the 31st of June, he had a stroke. You know, like Jayapataka Maharaj had. And he could not speak and he could not move. At that time, when he was completely helpless, he asked his disciples to help him by three things. First, he wanted them to paint a picture of Lord Nrisimhadev and have it where he was. Secondly, he asked them to chant the prayers of Lord Nrisimhadev, to Lord Nrisimhadev. Namaste Narasinghaya, etc. And sing also Hare Krishna. And the third thing he asked his servant to recite the prayers of Queen Kunti to him. This was in 67. Then in 74, 8 years later, Prabhupada had a total health crisis which felled him to the floor, bang, in Vrindavan. At that time, Srila Prabhupada requested the devotees the same thing, to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev and sing Hare Krishna and to recite to him the prayers of Queen Kunti, yes. Later, when he was well, he wrote a letter to his servant, Brahmananda, and he said, "Actually, I was very ill. I was falling down. But by your prayers, Krishna has kindly made me recover. Just like Srimati Kunti Devi. When there was difficulty, she prayed to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Not that when there is difficulty, I shall forget Krishna. No. Whatever the material condition may be, we should just cling to Krishna's lotus feet. So you can see the prayers of Queen Kunti, three times at least in Prabhupada's life. He recorded them when he was ill with a stroke. He had the prayers recited to him. And then later in the movement, he again had the prayers recited to him. Today we have found one secret in the prayers of Queen Kunti. My dear devotees, make notes of these three steps. Don't do like the Hare Krishnas. They hear and they forget the moment they are out of the room. And therefore they don't advance. They stay always neophytes. But you should do differently. Do something different. Bold. Creative. Follow the scriptures. Good. So this is humor, North German humor. Don't worry. I know that you are all saintly souls. Theoretically. This was your first session of the prayers of Queen Kunti. We will make a pause now, but we cannot avoid to greet Mathura Nanda and Govinda Priya. They have come from Split, just like Manisha and our Vikramakeshari. They have also come from Split with the sun on their faces and to give pleasure to us in the summer camp. Welcome here. Hare Krishna. What will we do now? Do I see Madhva Muni there? No? I can't see, so I get a new glasses and then I can see. We will make a pause now. We are a little late. I would say, why don't we meet here at 7:30? No? Then we have 1 hour for prasadam, for talking about everything. 7:30, and we will bring your children for the first part because we will have a magic show with magic tricks which have not even been done by David Copperfield and the Ehrlich brothers. You know, it is really magic. 7:30, you want to be there and tell the next generations about this. Hare Krishna. And then there will be the story of Queen Kunti's life. Haribo.